الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. The last lesson that we learned in Tafsir was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave reasons why one should believe in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from nothing, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us death, and after death Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will again give us life. And towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we must return. Then why is it that we should reject belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ. He is the one who created for you. مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. And مَا in the Arabic language, it encompasses everything unless something has been specified. Nothing has been specified here. So what it means is, He is the one who created for you everything that is in the earth. And at the end of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added jami'a, which gives more emphasis, which means without leaving anything out, every single thing that has been created in this world has been created for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created everything in this earth for you. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies. فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. And He created seven layers of sky. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And He is the knower of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So in this verse we learn that everything on this earth has been created for mankind, for humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave preference to humans over all other creations. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave honor and respect and karam to the humans. And thus everything that is in this world has been created to serve mankind. And if we look around ourselves, everything that we see it is serving mankind. If you look at the animals, it is the humans that use the animals. The donkey is used to carry goods for people. The horse is used to carry people and may be used to carry goods for people. The animals that are used for food for humans, humans eat them. And all these animals, they are serving mankind. And they are doing their duty for what they have been created. The bees creating honey. And everything you look around you, even the air that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, is to serve the humans, to give life to humans so that they can breathe, and all the oxygen and whatever else that benefits the mankind inside goes inside and it gives him benefit, runs through his veins. And everything that Allah has created for us in this world. Okay? And everything is doing what they have been created for. So these, for example, a donkey, when you put goods onto the back of a donkey, it will carry your goods for you. Tika, it will carry your goods for you. And it will do that for years and years. But never will a donkey ever say that, oh my master, I have been carrying your goods for so long, now I am going to ride on your back and you're going to carry me for a change. They don't, because they know what their duty is and they fulfill their duty. So if Allah has created everything for this specific duty, they are carrying out their duty. And Allah created humans with intellect. Allah gave humans superiority over all other creation through intellect and knowledge. Yet why is it that the human tends to rebel? Why do we tend to rebel? If Allah has made everything for us to serve us and they are serving us, then why are we not doing what we have been created to do? We have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the commands of Allah and to abstain from that which Allah has forbidden. That is what we should do. Yet we see that the mankind, the humans, are the ones who tend to rebel more. They tend to go against the commands of Allah, not fulfill the right, the obligatory acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an obligation upon us. So we should take heed from this verse that Allah has created everything for us in this world. For that reason, we should repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping Allah and fulfilling His commands and abstaining from that which Allah has forbidden. Okay, in this verse we also learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of everything. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah is alim means Allah's knowledge is complete. There is nothing that is outside the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that exists and even that which does not exist, Allah's knowledge encompasses all of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge doesn't increase and it doesn't decrease. Okay? From before, Allah knew everything and Allah will know everything. Tika? And there is no end to the knowledge of Allah. So Allah's knowledge doesn't increase, doesn't decrease. He knew everything from before. And the difference between the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of creation is that firstly, the amount is not the same as Allah's. Allah's knowledge has no limits. We cannot put a limit to the knowledge of Allah. And also the fact that Allah's knowledge has not been given to Allah by anyone. It is dhati. Dhati means it has not been given to Allah by anyone. It is His own knowledge. And every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge that we have, it's given to us by Allah, which is known as atai. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the most knowledgeable from all human beings. Allah gave knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our eyes, has no limits. Okay? The knowledge that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has, we cannot put a limit to that. Tika? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that knowledge, and thus it is atai. It is not Allah, it is not the knowledge not given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by anyone. It has been given by Allah. So it's different to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not say that the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the same as the knowledge of Allah, ma'adillah. Nobody can match their knowledge with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now this is about the beginning of creation. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. And إِذْ, I think we mentioned before, إِذْ means أُذْكُرْ, remember. And who is this book revealed upon? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is told to remember when قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am to place a representative of mine, a khalifa, on the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remember. And the only time a person says to another person, remember, is when you know that the person already knows, or he was there to witness it. That's when you say, remember at that time this happened, because you know the person knows, or you know he was there. In the same way, this tells us that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already there when this happened, at the beginning of creation, when the angels had been created, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that I am to make a man who will be a khalifa, who will be a representative of me on the earth. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already there. And according to the narration from Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي, and in the words that it has been recorded, that I was the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first everything that Allah created was my light. The light of me was the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels, the pen, the tablet, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and everything that was created, it was created from that light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when in a narration where Jibreel alayhi salam is asked by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is your age? And Jibreel alayhi salam says that I do not know how old I am, but I used to see this one star or this light that used to shine, and it only used to appear every 70,000 years. I have seen that light would only come 70, and I have seen it about 70,000 times, or maybe more than that. A lot more than that. I can't exactly remember the words. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that that light was me. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a lot older than Jibreel alayhi salam. So the whole point of creation, or the center of creation, was the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through that everything else was created. And when Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says ke teri hi janib hai paancho waqt sajda noor ka, rukh hai qibla noor ka, abru hai kaaba noor ka. Theek hai, what Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala is saying there is that everything has been created from the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even the Kaaba is the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So teri hi janib hai paancho waqt sajda noor ka, meaning the sajda that we do every five times in salah is towards the Kaaba, and the Kaaba is the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is made from that. Okay, so everything had been created from the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says wa idh qala rabbuka lil malaa'ika inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, that remember when your Lord said to the angels, I am to make a khalifa on the earth. And from this we also learn that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the first prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Adam, Allah had already decided that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was to reside on the earth. And that's why it says here, fil ardi khalifa, that I am going to place a khalifa of mine on the earth. A khalifa is he who represents. Tika? Like we have a captain and a wise captain. Tika? The wise captain is the one who represents the captain. Tika? In the same way, a khalifa is he who represents the person who gave him the khilafa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a khalifa. So he who will represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. And this is Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. And although from other verses of the Quran we learn that every prophet of Allah, every messenger of Allah was a khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest of all khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the greatest khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a khalifa it is necessary that he holds attributes similar to the ones that the person who gave him khilafa held. Okay, so for example, if you have a captain, the wise captain will be chosen somebody who has similar qualities, somebody who is nearly as good. Tika? In the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes somebody a khalifa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that that person has been given such powers that he does show the power of Allah. Tika? He is not helpless. A khalifa of Allah will not be helpless. He will have power given to him by Allah. He will show to the people the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he split the moon into two, people saw that this was the power of Allah. And that's why they accepted Islam. Although many turned away and said he's a magician, but many did accept because they saw that power of Allah. And that is a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tiga, if you think about it in this way, that if the army of Great Britain were to send somebody into another country for a mission, they would make sure that he is armed he has the weapons that he will need to fight, tika, and make sure he carries out his mission. In the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a khalifa on this earth, and there are so many enemies like the devil, the shaitan, who are there to oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the magicians, those that have been given all these different powers, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a prophet of Allah, must be armed with enough power to fight against all of that. Tika? So without doubt, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the prophets of Allah and the messengers, they were not like normal human beings. They were much more powerful, they were much more superior, and they were given special powers by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decided that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was to reside on the earth. Tika? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember when your Lord said to the angels that I will make a khalifa on the earth. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the angels. What did the angels reply? قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. That, O Allah, will you make a khalifa of yours on the earth, one that will cause turmoil, mischief, fasad, and one that will shed blood? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Whereas we, O Allah, we praise, we chant your praises, we do your tasbih, وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, and we chant your glorifications. In other words, Ya Allah, we should be the ones who are chosen to be your representatives on the earth, not those who will cause turmoil, mischief, and those who will shed blood. قَالَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Verily, I know that which you do not know. Okay? Now from this we learn that the angels knew that the humans are the ones that will be created, and they will be put on the earth, and the Anbiya-i-Kiram from amongst them will represent Allah as the Khalifa. And they also knew that the humans will cause mischief. And they also knew that the humans would shed blood. Tika? So how did they know? This is a question. The Mufassirin Kiram say that either they knew because Allah gave them that knowledge through ilham. Allah gave the knowledge to them that this is what they will do, and thus they said it. Second explanation is that they saw on the Lawh-e Mahfuz, where destiny is written. They saw it on the tablet, where all the destiny was written. They saw that the humans will cause mischief, and they will shed blood. And the third explanation that the Mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran, have given, is that they say that they did qiyas, they analyzed from the jinn. They saw that the jinns are doing this, and they have been given the power of making a choice whether to do right and wrong, whereas the angels were not given a power of making a choice. The angels are ma'soom, they are pure from sin, they are immune from sin, they cannot commit sin. The angels do not have the power of making their own choice, they only do that which Allah has commanded them. Whereas the jinn were created with power of choice, freedom of choosing what they want to do. They had free will, whereas the angels didn't have free will. So because they saw that the jinn had free will, and what they had did, how they interacted with each other, they analyzed from that the humans will be the same as well. They will cause mischief and they will shed blood. Tika? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to the angels, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know that which you do not know. Now what does that mean? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Sayyiduna Adam the names كُلَّهَا of every single thing. كُلَّهَا comes for ta'keed, for emphasis, meaning the names of every single thing that was to exist Tigger that was to come into existence. So there are things that we have today that weren't present in the past. So according to the Mufassirin Ikram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam the names of everything that was to exist. Tigger, so even the things that we have today. And in all different languages. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented all these things in front of the angels and said to the angels, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are truthful in the fact that you are better than the humans and you should be made the Khalifa, then tell me the names of all these things. And all the things that were to exist were presented in front of the angels, and they were challenged to give a name of these things. So this was knowledge, this was ilm, ilmul asma, the knowledge of names, to know the names of things. And the angels, they said, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. They said, purity is for you, O Allah. For you there is purity. La ilma lana, there is absolutely no knowledge for us. And la here is for la li nafi al jins. La ilma lana, there is no knowledge at all for us. Illa ma allamtana, but that which you have taught us. So we only know that which you have taught us, Ya Allah. We do not know the names of these things. Theeka? So when the angels said that, Ya Allah, we do not know. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Verily, you are the most knowledgeable, the most wise. You are the possessor of knowledge, you are the possessor of wisdom. قَالَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا آدَمُ. O Adam, أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Inform them, or give them the information of their names. Do you see this incident happening? Tika? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, said to the angels that I am going to make them my representatives on the earth. And the angels say that, Ya Allah, they will cause mischief and they will shed blood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you don't know. They say that we praise you, we chant your glorifications. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I know what you don't know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam the knowledge of all these things. And then Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, in front of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the angels are challenged to give the names of these things. And the angels, they can't give the names of these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Adam alayhi salam, that Ya Adam, أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Inform them the names of these things. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And when Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam gave the angels the information of the names of all these things that Allah had presented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ, did I not say to you, أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I know the unseen of the skies and the earth. I know the hidden of the skies and the earth. I know everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And I know ma tubduna wa ma kuntum taktumun. I know that you, that which you make apparent, and I also know that which you hide. Theeka? And what they make apparent, from that the Mufassirin Ikram say that they made apparent that the humans will cause mischief and they will cause bloodshed. And we are pure and we glorify you, O Allah, and we chant your praises and glorification. This was what they made apparent. So Allah says, I know that which you made apparent. And when Allah says, and I know that which you hid, which what you were hiding, then that was the fact that the angels desired for Allah to make them into the Khalifa and send them on the earth as Khalifas. Tika? The angels wanted to become the Khalifa on the earth. And that is what they hid. They didn't express that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Theeka? And there is nothing wrong with the angels desiring that. It wasn't jealousy. It was the fact that it is an honor to be the Khalifa of Allah. It is a very respected position and it's a very rewarding position. And to desire respect and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a good thing. And thus the angels, the intentions of the angels were good. But from this we learn a lot of things. For example, we learn that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was given preference over the angels through what? Knowledge. Anna? Knowledge was what gave preference to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam over the angels. And thus that shows the importance of knowledge. And that's why Islam emphasizes the importance of knowledge. And if you think back into the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he announced prophethood amongst the people of Makkatul Mukarrama, there were only about two or three people who knew how to write. Tika? They couldn't, not more than that could write. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, the narrators say that we could not count how many people knew how to read and write. That's how many people had learned how to read and write. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he encouraged people to learn to read and write. If you look back at one of the times when they brought some captives back from Makkatul Mukarrama, from a war, they brought them back as captives, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that teach one man how to read and write and you will be free. Subhanallah, he was encouraging knowledge at all times. And it's knowledge that gives superiority to one over another according to this incident. And we learn that from here. And remember, this is only beneficial knowledge, knowledge that benefits. Okay? So the angels were challenged. Their knowledge was challenged, but the knowledge of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was more than the knowledge of the angels. And that's why he was given preference. So, here the fadila of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is due to the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. In the same way, we should give preference to those who have more knowledge over us. Tika? And that's why the ulama have more respect than the normal people, due to their knowledge. And the knowledge here is specifically the knowledge of the deen. Tika? The ilm which is preferred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge which is preferred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the names of all these things that were, the knowledge that was given to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, was due to knowing the ahkam of all these things. Tika? And that is the knowledge that is preferred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of knowledge and the fadail of knowledge, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمَةٍ, this is the ilmu al-deen. Not the ilmu al-dunya, not the ilmu al-tib, not any other knowledge. This is only the ilmu al-deen. That is fard. Tika? Everything else is fard kifaya, where a person should become a doctor so that he can serve the people. If you want your wife, your mother, your daughter to be treated by a female doctor, then it is fard kifaya for the Muslims to give their women to become doctors, female doctors. Tika? If you don't have female doctors, then how will you have your own women treated by a female doctor? So it is fard kifaya to have females go out and learn and become female doctors. In the same way for other things as well, like policing. If you want our fellow female sisters to be treated by female police officers, then it is necessary for our female Muslim women to become police officers. Tika? It is important that our females do take such roles. But this knowledge that gives preference to one over another is the knowledge of the deen. It is the ilmu al-deen, the knowledge that has been inherited from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Mufassirin ikiram, especially the Sufiya ikiram, they say that this knowledge that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was given was also through the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was the nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the incident that happened about when Allah ordered the angels to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And remember when we said to the angels, to the malaika, prostrate or do sajda, an order from Allah to the angels. After Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had shown that his knowledge was far more than the angels, after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels. And remember when we said to the angels, Ushjudu li Adama, prostrate towards Adam alayhi salam. Fasajadu, they all prostrated. Illa Iblis, but Iblis. They all prostrated besides Iblis. Iblis did not prostrate. Aba wastakbara, he refused, he rejected. Aba means to say no. He refused, wastakbara, and he became arrogant, or he showed pride. Theek hai? He expressed that he was proud of who he was. Why should he prostrate? Why should he lower himself in front of another? So he showed pride, he expressed pride, and this is takabbur. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he became from amongst the kuffar. He became a kafir. He became a non-believer. Tika, he became a non-believer. Why? Because he refused the direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He refused and rejected a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he became a kafir. Tika, from this we learn that he who shows pride in front of the Anbiya-i-Kiram, he becomes a kafir. Theek hai? Shaitan, if you look into other verses in the Quran where this incident is mentioned, Shaitan says that you created him with earth. Theek hai? With water and sand, clay. And I have been created with fire. خُلِقْتُ مِنَ النَّارِ, I have been created with fire. Fire is far more superior. This was his intellect. This is how he thought. He thought that he was better than the human. And that's why he said, why should I prostrate? He did takabbur. He believed that the Anbiya-i-Kiram were not better than him. Adam alayhi salam was not better than him. In the same way as the Wahhabis and the Devbandis today, they say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not better than us. He was the same as us. We shouldn't spend our time praising him so much, singing his praises. He was a normal human being like us. These are the same arguments that Shaitan had for not prostrating to Sayyidina Adam alaihi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ, you have to respect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you must honor him, then we must do that. Unlike the shaitan and refuse like shaitan, we shouldn't do that. So shaitan, Iblis, he refused when Allah ordered the sajda. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, he has become from amongst the kafir. Now from this, there is a question that arises. Some people, especially the mustashriqeen, the orientalists, okay, they have this question. They say that why would Iblis be thrown out of the court of Allah and be damned eternally for not prostrating to Adam when the command of prostration or prostrating was not to Iblis? If you read the verse, it says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ, what does it say? لِلْمَلَائِكَ, it says, and we said to the angels, prostrate. Iblis was not an angel, and thus he was not ordered to prostrate. And thus when he did not prostrate, why would he be damned eternally? Do you understand the question? Tika? Does that make sense? The verse says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. It doesn't say, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْجِنِّ اسْجُدُوا. It doesn't say that, hana? It just says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. So the answer that some Mufassirin al-Kiram have given is they said that the angels were superior than the jinn. Okay? They were created before the jinn, and thus they were known as older than the jinn, and they were more superior. And when the order has come for those who are superior than those who are below them, inevitably the order is for them as well. Tika? When you order the more respected people, those who are less respected, the order is automatically for them as well. So for example, when you are sitting in a gathering and there are ulama amongst us, and when one most respected person comes and the ulama stand up for his respect, then we would normally stand up because they have stood up to respect. In the same way, Iblis was not as superior as all the malaika like Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam. They were the malaika al-mukharrabun. They were more respected, and when the order was for them, then it was automatically for Iblis as well. That's one explanation that they give. But there is a narration from Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, in one of the books of Tafsir, where it says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an said that there are two types of malaika. Malaika ki do qisma hai. There are two types. One are malaika minan nur, and one are malaika minan nar. Us zamane mein, in that time, the malaika, the word malaika was used for angels as well as for jinns. Theek hai? And the angels were known as malaika minan nur, and the jinns were known as malaika minan nar. So when Allah said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ, it means the malaika minan nur and the malaika minan nar. So that hukum is for the jinn and the angels. Theek hai? So from this we learn that the jinn were also known as malaika. And that's where, if you look in the Bible, the jinns are known as, or the devil, the Satan, is known as the fallen angel. Hana? They are known as the fallen angels. Yani they were angels, but they have fallen, or they have been thrown out of the court of Allah. So according to the narration of the Abdullah ibn Masud, which makes perfect sense, that the Iblis was from amongst the malaika minan nar. Malaika, the angels created from fire. And thus the hukum was for all of them. And there he expressed his pride and he refused to prostrate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he became from amongst the kuffar. Because he refused to do ta'zeem of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. So we learn from here that to refuse the ta'zeem of the Anbiya-i Kiram is kufr. It leads to kufr. Because it is the command of Allah to respect and to do ta'zeem of the Anbiya-i Kiram. And those who reject it, they become kafir. And this is from the beginning of creation. And that what Iblis did in that time, it has continued until today, and these people are following that way of Iblis. They are refusing the ta'zeem of the Anbiya-i Kiram. And as for sajda, there are some Mufassirin Kiram who say that the sajda was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but towards Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Theek hai? Yani Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was the qibla. And masjood lahu, meaning for whom the prostration was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Theek hai? So Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam is masjood ilay, jiski taraf sajda kiya jara. Yani he is the qibla. And masjood lahu is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Theek hai? This is what some mufassirin kiram have said, but this is not right. The jamhur mufassirin kiram, they say, nay, this is wrong. Because the qibla, to be the qibla, does not necessarily make you more superior than the person prostrating. Theek hai? Masjood ilay hamesha sajid se ziyada afzal nahi hota. If Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is masjood ilayh, he is the qibla, and the farishte are doing sajda towards him, then it doesn't prove that the Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is more superior than the angels. Theek hai? If you look at the Kaaba is masjood ilayh. Allah is masjood lahu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sajid. Sajda karne wale, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Is the Kaaba more superior than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? No. Hana? He is not. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more superior. So the question is, was the sajda for Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam? Yes, it was. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was masjood lahu. Theek hai? This is the correct opinion according to the jamhur. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was the masjood lahu. The sajda was for him, and it was known as a sajda li ta'zim. It was a sajda for ta'zim, for respect. Not for ibadah. Theek hai? The sajda for ibadah is when you do i'tiqad in your heart, when you firmly believe in your heart that He is the Creator, He is the Divine. Theek hai? He is our Almighty Lord Allah. And then you prostrate, that is sajda for ibadah. And when you believe that he is a creation of Allah, however he is much respectable, and you prostrate to that person, that is known as sajda lit-ta'zim. And now in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is haram. It is haram to prostrate to anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not do sajda to anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't even do ruku' to anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ruku' and sajda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'zim is permissible, but not through ruku' and sajda. Okay? This is haram for anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I have seen that the kings have their men prostrate towards them, do sajda towards them, or they bow towards them. And Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, give us permission to do sajda to you. You are more worthy of sajda than all these other kings. Tika? So let us do sajda for ta'zim, li ta'zim. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sajda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? Sajda is haram for any creation. It is only for Allah. It was permissible in the past Sharia, not anymore. Tika? It has been made haram. And there are several very rigorously authentic ahadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it was permissible for one to prostrate to other than Allah for ta'zim, for respect, then I would order the female to prostrate to her husband. Tika? But because it is not, it is haram. Okay? So these people who do sajda to their peer sahib, it is haram. It is haram, and they are misguided people. And they are very close to kufr. Tika? They are very close to kufr. And there is a verse of the Quran that Allah revealed when the Sahaba ikram asked to prostrate to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, are you seeking permission to commit kufr after you have accepted iman? After you have accepted iman, you are seeking permission to commit kufr, which means that it is an act of kufr to prostrate to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sajda for anybody other than Allah is haram. But this is the time of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, where the angels are ordered by Allah to do sajda to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. And this is a sajda for ta'zim. And Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam is the masjood lahu, for whom the sajda is taking place. Tika? So all the angels, they do sajda. And the narration say that Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam was the first to go down into sajda. And then the other four, Malaika Muqarrabun, and then the other angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all prostrated besides Iblis. And when Iblis did not prostrate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, he became from amongst the kafirin. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ بَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَقُلْنَا, we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we said to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, that, O Adam, you and your wife live in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam and to his wife. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha. When Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was created, he felt lonely, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from his rib bone Sayyida Hawa to give him itminan tamaniya, to give him satisfaction in the heart and make him feel warmth. Tika? And that's the duty of a female towards her partner, that she makes his heart feel satisfied and gives him warmth in his heart. So Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam is ordered by Allah to live in Jannah with his wife, Zawjuka al-Jannah. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, and eat from the gardens of Jannah. رَغَدًا means بَيْرُوْتُوْكُ, unconditionally. Eat whatever you wish, whenever you wish, from wherever you wish. حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, whenever you wish. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. So you can eat from wherever you wish, whenever you wish, and whatever you wish, but do not go near, لَا تَقْرَبَا, do not approach, or do not go near this tree. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. If you do, then you will become from amongst the transgressors, from the ظَالِمِينَ. Theka? So you can freely eat from wherever you want. And remember, as I mentioned in the beginning of this ruku, I said that Allah, when Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ, I am to make on the earth a khalifa. Not in Jannah. But here Allah is telling Sayyidina Adam and Islam to go and live in Jannah. But Allah has already planned for Sayyidina Adam and Islam to be a khalifa on the earth. So this was all planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is most wise. So the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to come onto the earth as the Khalifa of Allah was through this tree. Tika? And this whole incident that happens about the tree and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam eating from that tree is all to teach us a lesson. Tika? About how shaitan works, how the devil works, how he tricks people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and his beloved wife, Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha, to go and live in Jannah and eat from wherever they wish besides this one specific tree. Now the narration says that Shaitan, meaning Iblis, he came to Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha and he says that, would you like to live here forever in Jannah? And she said, absolutely, we would. And then he said that if you wish to live here forever, then you must eat from this tree. And he swore by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? He took oath of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another narration it says that he said this to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So upon this, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu anha had never imagined anybody lying, especially when they have taken the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they believed this person. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden them, there are different stages of forbidding something. When something becomes haram, when something is disliked, when something is khilafi awla or khilafi awla. It's better not to do it. Okay? So, for example, when a person says to another person, don't eat now. Tika? When an elder person says to a person younger than him, that don't eat now. It doesn't mean it is, you must not eat no matter what. It means it would be better for you not to eat at this moment. Just wait a little bit, more guests are coming and then eat. Tika? So if he was to eat something, he knows that he won't become angry with him. It was some advice that he gave. In the same way, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam did ijtihad. And his ijtihad said that the hukum of Allah, where Allah forbade eating from this tree, when Allah said, do not go near this tree, from that, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prefer me not to eat from that tree. Tika? Otherwise, this person would not be taking oath by the name of Allah saying that this is a good tree. And if you eat from it, you will live here forever. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, or Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu anha, eats from that tree. And according to some narration, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam eats from that tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records it in these words, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. So shaitan made them slip. Okay? Azallahuma means he made them slip. So it was the shaitan who caused them to slip. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. So shaitan made them slip in this matter. Anha means in regards to the tree. This tree that they were not supposed to go near. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِي. So shaitan was the one who removed them both from where they were. Yani from Jannah. وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we said, descend onto the earth, for some of you are enemies of others. Tika? You are enemies of each other. You will fight amongst each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, descend onto the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ba'dukum li ba'din adu. You are enemies of each other. Yani, amongst the mankind there will be people who will be enemies of each other. Or it may mean, according to some mufassirin ikram, the shaitan is an enemy of the mankind and mankind is an enemy of shaitan. Now, first there's a question that comes here, that if shaitan had been thrown out of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could not enter Jannah. So how did he enter Jannah to tell Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa that this tree, if you eat from this tree, then it will give you eternal life in Jannah? The Mufassirin al-Kiram say that the way shaitan went in is he took the form of a snake. He took the form of a snake and he entered into Jannah. So the doorman of Jannah did not realize. And remember, this is all planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah cannot be tricked into anything. Allah knows everything. And this was the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used for the first plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was mentioned in the beginning, that Allah has made Adam as a khalifa on the earth. So Allah was to send Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam on the earth. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was simply following the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam did not do anything wrong. Somebody who does ijtihad, and even if his ijtihad is wrong, he is still rewarded. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam looked at the nafi of Allah, the nahi of Allah, where Allah said, do not go near this tree. And he did his own ijtihad and he understood that it is khilafi awla to eat from this tree. And khilafi awla is not a sin. It is not a sin to commit something that is khilafi awla. It simply means it is not the best thing to do. It is better to avoid it, but it is permissible. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ate from it, believing it was permissible. So although it was not a sin that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam committed, and we cannot ever say that he did commit a sin, because the Anbiya kiram are immune from sins. They are pure from sins. They cannot commit sins. Okay? The Anbiya kiram, the prophets of Allah, they are free from sins. Remember, because if Allah is to send a representative, a prophet, who sins himself, then what is he to show to us? Tika? What is he to show to us and guide us? If he can be misguided himself, then how can we rely on him for guidance? If he can lie, then how can we rely on him that he is telling us this is the word of Allah? He may be lying. Tika? And that is why it is aqlan. Even according to the intellect, it is not correct for a prophet of Allah to be able to lie and to commit sin. It is not possible for them to lie or for them to commit sin. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam committed an act which he believed was permissible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, ihbitu, descend, ba'dukum li ba'din adu. And this ihbitu, this verb that has been used, the commanding verb, it is jama. It has the wawul jama in it. Waw comes for jama, ihbitu. And in the Arabic language, jama is more than two people. More than two. And here, there is only Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa, which is two. So it should have been ihbita. The alif for tathniya. Tika ihbita. But Allah says ihbitu, which is jama, which means there was more than two. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa, who else was there? So the Mufassirin al-Kiram say that in the salb of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from amongst the mankind that was to come through his generation was also present in his back, in his salb. Tika? That in the salb of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, we were all there. Hum sab waha maujood the. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why used the plural, jama, saying, ihbitu, all of you descend onto the earth. Tika? So at that time, we were all present in the back of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, as we are to come from his lineage, from him giving birth, and through that generation after generation, we were to come. So all the creation of Allah that was to come from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was also present there. Tika? So we were all at that time in Jannah, in the salb of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and we all came down descended onto the earth when Allah said, اِحْبِطُوا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٍ. So we all came down onto the earth. And this is why there is a qaida according to the philosophers. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ. Everything returns to its origin. ہر شيء اپنے اصل کی طرف واپس ہوتی ہے, رجوع کرتی ہے, ٹھیک ہے. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ. So if our asl was in Jannah, and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was in Jannah, and we were all present in the salb of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, then كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْلِهِ, then we are all to return to our origin, which is Jannah. ٹھیک ہے, according to this basic rule of philosophy, it makes sense that we will all go back to Jannah. This is only when your asl remains intact. ٹھیک ہے, asl mein agar fasad aajaye, if your asl, if your origin becomes changed or altered, or you have gone against the commands of Allah and you have changed your origin, then you will not return to your asl, because now Jannah will not remain your asl. ٹھیک ہے. The water flows in a certain direction. Theka, water, streams of water, you will find that they always flow in a certain direction. Theka, but if that water is taken from there and made into sharbat, its asl has now changed. It's not remained water. It won't return to its origin. It won't flow that way anymore. Theka, because its asl has now changed. So its origin has not remained to flow in that direction. In the same way, if your asl remains, and the way to keep your asl as Jannah is to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the way of the Anbiya Kiram, follow the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfill the orders of Allah and abstain from that which Allah has forbidden. That way we can keep our asl, and according to that rule we will return to Jannah. However, if we take the way of shaitan, we take the way of Iblis, and we go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our asl will change. There will be fasad in there. And we will not, our asl will not remain Jannah anymore. Theka, our asl will turn into Jahannam. And then we will return to Jahannam. May Allah protect us from that. So here we learn that all the descendants of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came onto the earth with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرُّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And for you, on the earth, is a mustaqar, a place to live. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And provision for a certain period of time. Tika? Which means we are here on this earth, not forever. This is not khuld on this earth. We are not here forever. We are here for a certain period of time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a place to stay and provision. Mata means provision, that which we need to remain alive. So here we are here for a certain period of time, and we are to stay here for a certain period of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam on this earth and explained that you are here for a certain period of time and you have provision that has been made for you here. And in the previous verse, in the ruku that ended before this ruku, we said Allah has created everything on this earth for us, tika, to serve humans. And thus they do. So we are here on this earth. And from this specific verse, Huzur Muhaddis al-Kabir, he did takhrij of a understanding. He says that from this he understands, or we understand, that humans will only live on the earth. They won't live on other planets. They won't find life on Mars. They won't find life on the moon. Tika? No matter how much they try, they can't go there. As there is a verse of the Quran which says that if they leave the earth and they go further deep into the universe, then they will not be anywhere but in the Sultanate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be the Sultanate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? So, Huzur Muhaddis al-Kabir says that they can go wherever they want, but they will only find life on the earth, because Allah has made it clear here that Allah has given humans a place to stay on the earth for a certain period of time, and Allah has given provision to the people on the earth for a certain period of time. Tika? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتِ Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam found from his Lord some words. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted them words. What is this? إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Verily he is the acceptor of repentance and he is the merciful. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened was Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam came onto the earth. And some of the Mufassirin al-Kiram say that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam came into India, in Hind. Tika? Some say Sri Lanka. And Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha came into Jeddah, in Arab. Now, Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, although he did not commit a sin, remember, those who are the muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to them, even something that may be a good deed for us, is a bad deed for them. Tika? Because the expectance from them is a lot more higher. Tika? And to them, even a slight mistake is a very, very big issue. So because of that, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he cried. Tika? He cried, and he was known as Kathirul Baqar, meaning he used to cry a lot. He used to cry a lot. And he cried a lot, up to the extent that some Mufassirin al-Kiram say that the amount that he cried, mankind will never ever cry so much that their tears can match the tears of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the amount he cried. He cried so much. Tika? He cried and cried, and some say he cried for 300 years, and some say he cried for more, 500 years, and he continued to cry. And then he remembered. And this is a narration from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in Bayhaqi Sharif and in Tabrani Sharif and also recorded by Imam Hakim. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that at that point Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam cried and cried and cried, and then he remembered that when he was in Jannah he saw on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it said La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah. He saw that. And he saw that this Muhammad, the name of Muhammad, being the messenger of Allah, was adjacent to Allah being the only one God, and there being none worthy of worship but Allah. And when he found that these two were adjacent with each other, without a waw in the middle, without an and in the middle, there's no and in the kalima. There is no God but Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. There's no and in between. That's how close they are together. So he says, when I saw that, I thought to myself that this Muhammad must be extremely dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, I said to Allah, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ اللَّهُمَّ أَسْأَلُكَ بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ أَن تَغْفِرَ لِي That, O Allah, we have committed wrong. I have done a mistake, I have committed a mistake, I have done wrong. Zulm, the word zulm simply means wadu shay fi ghayri mahalli. To place something in other than its place. Theek hai? That is zulm. Topi ko paon pe pehenna zulm. Theek hai? To wear your hat on your foot is zulm. To wear your socks on your head is zulm. It is placing something in other than its place. To walk on the road instead of the pavement is zulm. Theek hai? You have to walk, you have to do everything what it's for. Tika? So, zulm can be haram, it can be kufr, it can be shirk, it can be makruh, it can be makruh tahrimi, it could be tanzihi, it could be khilaf-e awla. Tika? So zulm doesn't necessarily mean that it's something very bad. It may just be khilaf-e awla. And here, that is what the word means. So, Zalamna anfusana, we have done zulm upon ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, yani, O Allah, if you do not forgive me and my wife Sayyida Hawa, then we will become from amongst the khasirin, meaning we will be damned. Allahumma, O Allah, I ask you with the right that Muhammad has over you, and nobody has a right over Allah, remember that. Tika? And when the Devbandis and the Wahhabis show us texts from Raddul Muhtar and Fatul Qadir, where it says it is haram to or kufr to say to pray to Allah bihaqi fala or fala is kufr. What it means is to believe that it is wajib upon Allah. Tika haqi wajib. Nah, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. There's nobody has a right over Allah. Tika, and we do not make dua through wasila in that manner. And in Raddul Muhtar and these texts, that's what it talks about. So these Deobandis and Wahhabis, don't let them fool you when they show you texts from Raddul Muhtar. They are talking about the haqq wajib. But we believe that there is nobody has a right over Allah and there is nothing wajib upon Allah. But what we mean when we say Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Muhammadin, it means through the wasila, through the grace, through the respect that you have given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tika? Through that, Ya Allah, forgive my sins. And when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam said that, and taghfir li, that forgive me for what I did through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that point Sayyidina Ali Murtada radiallahu ta'ala and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Take at that point Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was forgiven, and the angels were sent onto the earth to announce the khilafah of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam throughout the world, to the trees and all the nature and all the animals. They were all given the hukum to obey Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And then the khushbu in trees and flowers came from the body of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And when we talk about all of this, we must always remember that the nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always present in Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Even when the malaika were told to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the nur was present in the forehead of the Prophet Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. The nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present, and they saw that nur. And in another verse of the Quran it says فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, that they fell in sajda towards Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the angels. As soon as Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created, they fell in sajda. This was because the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shining. Tika. So here in this verse where it says فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam found from his Lord kalimat. Kalimat means words, and these are the words لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. So Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Muhammadin. Tika. And in another narration it says bijahi Muhammadin. Tika. There are different narrations. So these are the kalimat that is mentioned in the Quran. Fataba alayh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his tawbah. Allah accepted the tawbah of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Innahu huwa tawwabur rahim. Verily he is the acceptor of tawbah, the acceptor of repentance. Ar-Rahim, and he is the most merciful. We must also learn here that Tawbah has three conditions. To do Tawbah, to repent in the court of Allah from your sin, from your wrongdoing, there must be three conditions that you must fulfill. First is to recognize your sin, i'tiraf. Tika? To know your sin. This is what I have done and it is wrong. Tika? I'tiraf e jurm. And the second one is nadamat, nadama, to be shameful of that act. You should be ashamed of yourself for doing that act. Tika? Not going around telling people that, guess what I did, this is what I did. You shouldn't be proud of your sin. You should be shameful of your sin. And third of all, you must make azme musammam, that you will not commit that sin again. You must make firm intention to never commit that sin again. Tika? So basically, you must make a promise to Allah that, oh Allah, I make a promise that I will never, I make an ahad that I will never commit that sin again. So once you have fulfilled these three, your tawbah is complete. And then you will find that Allah is at-tawwab. He is the acceptor of repentance. Tika? And then Allah is also the most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. We said, Allah says, we said, descend unto the earth from the heavens, all of you. Tika, all of you come down onto the earth. قُلْنَا بِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Here it's emphasis, all of you. And that means all of us that were present in the salb of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Once you have come onto the earth, whenever comes to you from me guidance. Whenever guidance comes to you from me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, then he who follows my guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, for him is no fear, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they have no grief. They will not stress, they will not grieve, they will have no fear. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and when that guidance comes to you on the earth from me, and those people who commit kufr, who refuse, who reject it, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, they don't accept it, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and they reject our verses, yani the verses of the Quran or the signs of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are the people of the fire of hell, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will live in there forever. From this ayat we also learn that in Jahannam, the people of the fire of hell will remain there forever, eternal. They will stay there forever. So there is khuld for the Jahannami as well. So in the end, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came down, Allah gave this order that when on the earth, now that you have come onto the earth, all of you, remember the word jami'ah. Allah has used the word jami'ah to emphasize that there is more than one, more than two. There is all of you, all the creation of Allah as mankind that is to come on the earth. Allah says to all of us that when comes to you from me guidance, he who follows my guidance will have no fear. He will have nothing to worry about death. Don't fear death, because for you there is Jannah. Tika? لا تحزن. Don't have حزن. Don't grieve. For you there is Jannah. For you there is to rest in peace in the grave as well. Peace in the grave until the day of judgment, and then Jannah, eternal bliss. So there is nothing for you to fear. But those who reject my guidance and they reject my verses, then for them they are the people of the fire, and they will remain in the fire of hell forever. خُلُود فِي النَّارِ. Tika? صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيمُ وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُهُ النَّبِيُّ الْأَمِينُ الْكَرِيمُ. Inshallah, we'll carry on next week with the next ruku. Shall we carry on with hadith now? We'll listen to a Naat Sharif and then we'll carry on with hadith.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله فرشتے جس کے ظاہر ہے مدینے میں قربت ہے فرشتے جس کے ظاہر ہے مدینے میں وہ تربت ہے یہ وہ تربت ہے جس کو عرش اعظم پر فضیلت ہے یہ وہ تربت ہے جس کو عرش اعظم پر فضیلت ہے بلا دشتے مدینہ سے چمن کو کوئی نسبت ہے بلا دشتے مدینہ سے چمن کو کوئی نسبت ہے مدینے کی فضا رش کے بہار باغ جنت ہے مدینے کی فضا رش کے بہار باغ جنت ہے جو مستغنی ہوا ان سے مقدر اس کا خیبت ہے جو مستغنی ہوا ان سے مقدر اس کا خیبت ہے خلیل اللہ کو ہنگام محشر ان کی حاجت ہے خلیل اللہ کو ہنگام محشر ان کی حاجت ہے فرشتے جس کے ظاہر ہے مدینے میں وہ تربت ہے. ہمیں کیا حق تعالیٰ کو مدینے سے محبت ہے, ہمیں کیا حق تعالیٰ کو مدینے سے محبت ہے. مدینے کی محبت ان سے الفت کی علامت ہے, مدینے کی محبت ان سے الفت کی علامت ہے. مدینہ چھوڑ کر جنت کی خوشبو مل نہیں سکتی, مدینہ چھوڑ کر جنت کی خوشبو مل نہیں سکتی. مدینے سے محبت ہے تو جنت کی ضمانت ہے, مدینے سے محبت ہے تو جنت کی ضمانت ہے. یہاں بھی ان کی چلتی ہے وہاں بھی ان کی چلتی ہے, یہاں بھی ان کی چلتی ہے وہاں بھی ان کی چلتی ہے. مدینہ راجدانی ہے دو عالم پر حکومت ہے, مدینہ راجدانی ہے دو عالم پر حکومت ہے. فرشتے جس کے ظاہر ہے مدینے میں وہ تربت ہے, زمین پر وہ محمد ہے وہ احمد آسمانوں میں, زمین پر وہ محمد ہے وہ احمد آسمانوں میں. یہاں بھی ان کا چرچا ہے وہاں بھی ان مدحت ہے, یہاں بھی ان کا چرچا ہے وہاں بھی ان کی مدحت ہے. فرشتے جس کے ظاہر ہے مدینے میں وہ تربت ہے, الٰہی وہ مدینہ کیسی بستی ہے دکھا دینا, الٰہی وہ مدینہ کیسی بستی ہے دکھا دینا. جہاں رحمت برستی ہے جہاں رحمت ہی رحمت ہے, جہاں رحمت برستی ہے جہاں رحمت ہی رحمت ہے.
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ.
گداگر ہے جو اس در کا وہی سلطان قسمت ہے, گداگر ہے جو اس در کا وہی سلطان قسمت ہے. گدائی اس درے والے گدائی اس درے والا کی رش کے بادشاہت ہے. فرشتے جس کے ظاہر ہے مدینے میں وہ تربت ہے, غضب ہی کر دیا اختر مدینے سے چلے آئے, غضب ہی کر دیا اختر مدینے سے چلے آئے. یہ وہ جنت ہے جس کی عرش والوں کو بھی حسرت ہے, یہ وہ جنت ہے جس کی عرش والوں کو بھی حسرت ہے. مدینہ چھوڑ کر اختر بلا کیوں جائے جنت کو مدینہ چھوڑ کر اختر بلا کیوں جائے جنت کو یہ جنت کیا ہر ایک نعمت یہ جنت کیا ہر ایک نعمت مدینے کی بدولت ہے فرشتے جس کے سائے ہے مدینے میں وہ تربت ہے یہ وہ تربت ہے جس کو عرش اعظم پر فضیلت ہے
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من كان في حاجة أخيه وكان الله في حاجته صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم For those of you who remember, we were studying the Kitab, the chapter of Iman, and we are still on the chapter of Iman. The last hadith that we heard was recorded by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you is a believer, none from amongst you is a believer, until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. Tika? Is this the last? In Kitab al-Iman that we heard.
I think so, I'm not sure.
Okay. And the hadith before that, from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, was where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min husni islamil mar'i, from the beauty of the Islam of a man, of a person, is tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi, is for him to leave that which has no benefit for him. Theek hai? Which has no meaning for him. Did we hear these two hadith before? So from the beauty of one's Islam is the fact that he leaves everything that has no benefit for him. Anything that does not benefit his akhirah, or anything in his dunya, then he leaves it. Take care, for example, to gossip about somebody that will have no effect on your life, that will have no effect on your akhirah. You should leave it. That is the beauty of a person's religion, of his Islam, that he will not engage himself in that which he will not benefit from, and he will not gain anything from. Take care? So for example, we have people that travel around the world today. We book our holidays, we go for a holiday, we go and travel. When you go and you travel, the beauty of a man's religion, his Islam, is that he will only go to a place that will benefit him. Tika? And the benefit will be, for example, he will go to see something from history, for example, from the past. Something like the place where the awliya-i-kiram gathered. The Masjid al-Aqsa, for example, where the Anbiya-i-Kiram performed Salah behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the place where Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travelled into Jannah, the greatest of all mankind, the saviour of mankind, Sayyidina, the Shafi'ul Muznibin, the Rahmatul Lil Alameen, he travelled to Jannah, to the Arsh of Allah from Masjid al-Aqsa. Or the Masjid has been built by jinns in the time of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. So you want to go and see something that will benefit his religion. It will give life to his iman. Theek hai? In the same way, he will travel to Madinatul Munawwara, because that is the city of love. That is where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resides. Theek hai? The earth that is touching his blessed body is the most superior earth on this whole planet. It is the most superior part of earth, and even more superior than the Kaaba and where the Kaaba is. That earth that is touching the blessed body of the Prophet Muhammad. So Medina, in that terms, has a superiority. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, تَيْبَانَ سَهِي أَفْزَلْ مَكَّاهِ بَرَا زَاهِدْ. He says, تَيْبَانَ سَهِي أَفْزَلْ كَعْبَاهِ بَرَا زَاهِدْ. کیوں بات بڑھائی ہے, ہم عشق کے بندے ہیں, کیوں بات بڑھائی ہے. Meaning, why should we say that this is greater or this is greater? We are the servants of love. So we don't measure whether Kaaba is more superior than Medina or is Makkah more superior than Medina. We shouldn't fall into these arguments. But this is something that everybody agrees upon, that where the earth that touches the body of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the most superior part of earth. Okay? So if somebody travels, then he would travel to such a place where he knows that he will benefit from it. Tika? Or he goes to a place like the mazarat of the Awliya-i Kiram. Tika? Like if he goes to Egypt, he goes to Sayyida Nafisa radiallahu anha, who is known, Sayyida Nafisa radiallahu anha, she is known as one of the greatest awliya of Egypt to do tasarruf from under the earth for the people on the earth. Tika? People go there with requests that I have no female partner, I want to get married. You pray to her that find a good female for me, and that will happen. It happens. It occurs. You pray to her and she, through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously she doesn't have her own powers, Sayyidina Nafisa radiallahu anha. She has been given power by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's from amongst the friends of Allah. And remember, she is a teacher of Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anha. So these are the benefits that we should look for when we travel abroad to other countries. And that is the beauty of the religion of a Muslim, that he will leave that which has no benefit for him. If it has benefit for him, then he will travel there. And he will talk about them things, he will engage in them things. So the beauty of the religion, of the beauty of a man's Islam, is for him to leave that which has no meaning for him, which has no benefit for him. The hadith after that, and of course somebody may travel to another country simply to spend time with his marital partner. That is one of the benefits that a Muslim may fulfill, because it is a hukum of Allah to make sure that you be good towards your marital partner and you love your marital partner and you spend time with your marital partner. So that is also one of the benefits. The next hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you is a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And this means that none of you is a complete believer. His iman is not kamil, his iman is not mukammal until he loves for his brother that what he loves for himself. And what when we say he loves for his brother, what we mean is fellow Muslims. So a complete believer is he or she who loves for his or her fellow Muslims that which he or she loves for himself or herself. Tika? So it's for male and female. And what we mean by this is that which you know is beneficial for you and it will also benefit your fellow Muslim, then you should love that for them as well. Tika? Not, for example, that you are doing wrong and you love for your fellow Muslim to do that as well. You cannot be a complete believer until you love that for your fellow Muslim brother as well. For example, we all know that smoking is detrimental to health. So if somebody likes to smoke for himself, it doesn't mean you have to be a complete believer. You must love for your brother what you love for yourself. Meaning if you love for yourself to smoke, then you must love for your brother to smoke as well. That's not what it means. In those things that will benefit, and those things that are good, you must love that for your brother as well. Okay? So for example, when you are eating something and your brother is hungry and he has not eaten, then you would share that food. It is Islam that you would share that food with your fellow Muslim brothers. Okay? And the same with your neighbors, you know that your neighbors are poor and you have rich, and you are rich and you have many luxuries and your neighbors don't, then you should share that. Take care. Part of your religion is to feel for the other people and make sure that you share with them. The next hadith recorded by Sayyidina Salim, an abihi, he records from his father, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallama qala, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, al muslimu akhul muslim, la yadhlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu, man kana fi hajati akhihi, kana Allahu fi hajatihi. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Muslim is a brother of the Muslim. Theek hai? So Muslims are brothers of each other. So whether female or male, Muslims are all one family. That's what it means. We are all one. We are brothers and sisters of each other. La yazulimuhu. A Muslim never does zulm towards another Muslim. Theek hai? A Muslim does not do zulm to another Muslim. A Muslim does not transgress upon another Muslim. وَلَا يُسْلِمُهُ. And he does not ever leave his help from a Muslim. Meaning he does not leave a Muslim without giving help. Tika? A Muslim is always a man who will help the other Muslim. Tika? يعني تَرْكَ مُسْلَتْ. He won't leave helping another Muslim. When you see a Muslim in trouble, you will stop and you will help him. Okay? This is a sign of a Muslim. Man kana fi hajati akhihi. And then the Prophet Muhammad said, he who is helping his brother, he who is in helping another Muslim brother, kana Allahu fi hajatihi, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fulfilling his needs. Okay? So one way of fulfilling your needs is to go and help your Muslim brothers. Theek hai? When a person, for example, he has problems in his rizq and rozi, rizq aur rozi mein kami hai, and I have no money, I have no food, I have no clothing, then what that person should do is he should go and help other Muslims. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana fi hajati akhihi," that when a Muslim is helping another Muslim, then Allah fi hajatihi, Allah is fulfilling his needs. So that is one way of fulfilling your needs via helping other Muslims. And from this we also learn that asking for help from other than Allah is permissible. Tika, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, where we say we only seek help from Allah. It doesn't mean that we don't seek help from other than Allah, knowing that Allah is the source of that help. Theek hai? We do. We seek help from other fellow Muslim brothers, and other fellow Muslim brothers will help you. And when other fellow Muslim brothers are helping you, then Allah is helping them. Theek hai? And remember, this is all from within the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ فَرَّجَ عَنْ مُسْلِمٍ كُرْبَةً. When a believer removes a difficulty from another believer. So a Muslim is in a difficulty and another Muslim brother comes and he helps him and he removes that difficulty for him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِهَا كُرْبَةً مِّن كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that for him to remove a difficulty from a fellow Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove one of the difficulties from the difficulties of the Day of Judgment for him. Theek hai? This is good business. Theek hai? So if you do something for somebody here, you invest your time in removing a difficulty for a fellow Muslim brother, then your profits will come on the Day of Judgment, where Allah will remove your difficulties from amongst the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. Because remember, on the Day of Judgment there will be many, many difficulties. Hana? The sun will be so close, the ground will be made of what? Copper. And the heat will burn your feet and it will boil your blood. Some people's tongues will become so dry because there won't be any water, that they will become so dry that they will fall out. That's how dry and there will be no water, and people will have no clothing, there will be too many people, nobody will recognize each other at that time, in that time of difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-qiyamah. For every difficulty that you relieve a Muslim brother from, Allah will relieve you from one in the hereafter. Tika? So, the more you can relieve Muslims from difficulties in this world, the more you will have relieved yourself from difficulties on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And he who hides the wrong of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide his wrong on the Day of Judgment. Tika? So if you know a wrong that a Muslim brother is doing, and if you hide that for him, then on the Day of Judgment, Allah will hide your sins. Tika? And remember, on the Day of Judgment, in Yasin Sharif, it clearly says that the hands will speak. Tika? The hands will speak that these hands did this and these hands did that. The feet will speak that these feet did this and they did that. Tika? The lips will speak that these lips exited these words. The ears will speak, they heard these words, they heard these instruments. Tika? So everything will speak at that time. There will be no hiding from your sins. You won't be able to hide your sins. However, here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if you hide the sins of your fellow Muslim, then Allah will hide your sins on the Day of Judgment. Tika? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will also hide your sins on the Day of Judgment. Tika? So if he sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said this, and he is from amongst mankind, from the creation of Allah, the most truthful, and he is one that is free from lying, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he is saying this, then we must believe it. And this is, again, very good business. Tika? This is the type of investment we should do to see the prophets on the Day of Judgment. So, from this hadith, there's a lot of the rights of others, Hukukul Ibad, mentioned in here by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, if you just look at the translation of this again, Sayyiduna Salim records from his father that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not transgress towards him. He does not leave helping him. He who is in the help of his brother, Allah is in his help. And he who relieves from a Muslim a difficulty, or he who relieves a Muslim from a difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him from one of the difficulties from amongst the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. And he who hides the sins of a fellow Muslim, Allah will hide his sins on the Day of Judgment." Tika? So here we learn that we must show good character towards each other. We must hide each other's sins. We must be good towards each other. We must never transgress or do wrong to a Muslim brother. We must always try to do right to a Muslim brother. And we will never leave helping a Muslim brother. We should always help each other. And if you are in the help of your brother, then Allah will fulfill your needs. Hajat is a need, and Allah will fulfill that hajah. The next hadith, recorded from Sayyiduna Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala an, qala, he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the believer for a believer is like a building. Part of it strengthens part of it. Tika? What does this mean? That the Muslims are all like a building. We are all like one building, where each part of the building supports the other part of the building. So for example, if you have a building, you have pillars in that building, you have bricks to build the walls. Each brick strengthens the other bricks. Tika? They hold the whole building together. Each pillar that is there is strengthening that building, and it's keeping that building up. So That's what the Muslims are like for each other. They are like one whole building. Together we will stand, and if we start to break up, then we will fall. Without each other we would fall. So that's what the Prophet Muhammad said. And this is how the Messenger of Allah explains unity. And this is what unity is. Unity is to be together like a building. How a building would support each other, that is how we will support each other. We will always stay together. Some people, they don't understand this. They are sulh kulli type people. They think okay, unity means that these bricks will always remain. Remember, when some of the bricks start corroding, what do you do? If you ask a person who is an expert in building, somebody who does construction, he will tell you that once the bricks become weak, we will remove them, throw them away, put new bricks in there. Hana? That's what they do. Because as soon as the bricks inside are infected, it starts to weaken the whole building. As soon as kufr enters Islam, it starts to weaken Islam. So it is the duty of the ulama kiram to recognize that kufr, to cut it out and throw it away, so that Islam remains pure from kufr. This is unity. Okay? So we will strengthen each other, we hold each other, we strengthen each other, as long as we have the capability to strengthen each other. But as soon as one of us gets infected, we will try to repair it. First we try to repair it. If you can't, just get the pointing done again, for example. Try to repair it. If you can't repair it, then you have to remove it and you have to replace it. Hannah? In the same way, that is unity. Unity is that we stick together, but as soon as somebody's beliefs get corrupted, then we must try to repair their beliefs, and if we can't repair their beliefs and it is inevitable for us to remove them, then we must cut them out and remove them. Otherwise the whole building will become weak and it will all fall. This is what unity means, and this is what we understand from this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Unlike what some people understand, they think that sab ek saath ho jao, and everybody become united and we all strengthen each other. Halakha, they don't realize that everybody is weakening each other and everybody is destroying Islam. It's completely destroying everything that the Prophet Muhammad stood for. The Prophet Muhammad stood for the respect of his Sahaba-i Kiram and the respect of his Ahlul Bayt. The Shias, they completely disrespect the Sahaba-i Kiram and they exaggerate in the respect of the Ahlul Bayt. Totally against the Prophet Muhammad. If you let them come into Islam and let them join us, then are you destroying what the Prophet Muhammad stood for, or are you helping it? You are destroying it. Tika? The Prophet Muhammad, the Sahaba Kiram, respected the Prophet Muhammad to such an extent that when he did wudu, the water would not touch the ground. Tika? The Sahaba Kiram would collect it. They would rub it on their faces. They believed that he had powers to give them water when there was no water. They believed, they respected him so much. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us to stay on that path. And then you have the Wahhabis and the Deobandis. The Wahhabis who say that a walking stick gives us more benefit than the grave of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, ma'azallah. With this walking stick I can hit a dog and make it run away. With this shrine of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, I can't even do that, ma'azallah. Is that destroying Islam or is that helping Islam? That is destroying Islam. So such weakness we must remove from ourselves to keep our unity together. Tika? Unity is not to allow them to come and join us as well. That is not unity. Tika? That which is pure must be kept pure. That which is impure must be kept separated. Tika? We don't mix peshab with dood. We don't mix milk with urine, do we? We have to keep them separated. That which is pure must be kept separated from that which is impure. Okay, and the next hadith is a similar hadith. And in Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala an, it is recorded from Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala an, qala, he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. the example of the believers in the love they have for each other, in the mercy they have for each other, in the affection that they have for each other. Mathalul jasad is the example of a body. Tika? Jasad means jism, jutha, a body. وَإِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضُوْ, when one part of it complains. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضُوْن, when one body limb complains. تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّحَرِ وَالْحُمَّةِ, then that one part of the body, when it complains, it calls the other parts of the body to take part in staying awake all throughout the night and towards a fever, meaning it calls the body towards a fever. So if one part of your body is affected, then that one part of the body, it calls the rest of your body to stay awake with it, to feel that pain, to share that pain, to stay awake and to share the fever. Tika? And this is the way the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. We are like a body, we support each other. Tika? The legs are there to support the whole body, the brain is there to support the whole body, every part of the body is there to support each part of the body. Tika? And even the little nail plays a big part, even the hairs on the body, they all, everything plays a big part on the body. And we are all like that. A Muslim ummah is like the body. And when one part of us, when one Muslim brother is in trouble and struggle, then the rest of the Muslims will feel that struggle and trouble, and they will want to help him. Tika? And that's why we see that when there are Muslims in Palestine, for example, and there is zulm happening upon them, then we feel that. And we raise money for it. We try to help them in whatever means we can. And we have that feeling in our hearts because it is the ummah. And that is what we are like. We are united together like a body. When one part of us is in trouble, we all feel that trouble. We share that trouble. We help each other. We support each other. Tiga? That is unity. But as I mentioned before, in the same way as when a part of the body becomes infected with an illness, we go to the hospital, we try and have it cured. Tika? But if that infection has spread to such an extent that it's not possible to cure it anymore, what do the doctors say? It will spread all throughout the body unless we do what? Cut it off and throw it away. Hannah? So you have to cut it off, otherwise pura jism will become infected. In the same way, when kufr and shirk and bidah that enters our Islam, we try to cure it. ठीक है उसको दवा खिलाओ उसको we try and cure it, सही करने की कोशिश करते. However, when we know that it's not possible, ये सही नहीं होने, لا يرجعون, ये लोग वापस नहीं होंगे, they are infected in such a manner that they will spread into the whole body unless, and this is why it is farz upon the ulama to recognize it and write the fatwa that these people are kafir and aware the Muslims of them so that they throw them out of Islam. Tika? Does that make sense? It's common sense. It's to recognize kufr and to label kufr as kufr and to know kufr as kufr is part of your iman. It is an obligation upon the Muslim ummah to recognize it. Tika? So the Muslim ummah is like a body. When one part of it feels pain, the rest of it is called towards sharing that pain. When one part of the body feels the pain, then the whole body ends up in a fever. Tika? The whole body will share that pain, stay awake at night. And that is the way we are as an ummah. We are united together. When one of us is in struggle and trouble, then we all want to share that trouble and struggle, and we want to support that person and help that person. The next hadith, recorded again by Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala, and qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, al-mu'minuna ka rajuli wahid, the believers are like one man. Tika? Again, unity. All the believers, ka rajuli wahid, are like one man. Inishtaka ra'suhu, when his head complains, when he has a headache, when his head complains, tada'a lahu sa'irul jasadi bil humma was sahar, it calls his whole body towards a fever and to staying awake. Tika? So that headache causes the whole body to stay awake and to go into a fever. In the same way, the next hadith, very similar, again recorded from Sayyiduna Nu'man ibn Bashir, but the wording is slightly different. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلمون كرجل واحد. Before it was المؤمنون كرجل واحد. Here it's المسلمون كرجل واحد. إن اشتكى عينه, if his eye complains, اشتكى كله, then all of it will complain. وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. And if his head complains, then every part of his body will complain. Meaning, when one part of the body feels pain, then the rest of the body feels and shares that pain with it. And then the next hadith, and we'll call this the last hadith we study today, recorded by Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, inna ahadakum mir'atu akhi. That verily, every one of you is a mirror to your brother. فَإِنْ رَأَى بِهِ أَذَى فَلْيُمِطْهُ عَنْهُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every one of you is a mirror to your brother. And in another hadith, different wording, الْمُؤْمِنُ مِرْأَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. A believer is a mirror of the believer. The believer is the mirror of the believer. فَإِنْ رَأَى بِهِ أَذَى. If he sees a wrong in his brother, فَلْيُمِطْهُ أَنْ, then he will remove it from him. Tika, that is a believer for a believer. So every believer is a mirror for another believer, and he will recognize that which is wrong in him, and he will tell him. Tika, when you stand in front of a mirror, there's a mirror there, you stand in front of the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself, you see your faults, you see whatever's wrong, you make sure everything's straightened up. Tika, if you see something dirty, you take it off, throw it away. Tika, and if your hair's not done properly, you do everything using that mirror. In the same way, a Muslim brother is your mirror. When you look at him and you see something that is wrong, then you remove it for him, take it off. Tika, if his collar is not right, for example, you see a Muslim brother and his collar is like this, then you, if you look in the mirror, you will straighten your own. Hana? So if you are a believer, then when you will see a fellow Muslim believer, then you will straighten it for him as well. Tika? And this is not only in physical clothing or body, this is also in amal, actions. Tika? If you see a Muslim brother who is using bad language, you will stop him. You'll say, brother, that's dirty on your tongue. Don't use them words. Tika? He is like a mirror for you. You try and make him like you are yourself, or like you want to be for yourself. المؤمن لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لنفسه حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That hadith we read in the beginning. You are not a complete believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Tika? So when you look in that mirror, you should remember that hadith, and you should remove that which is on his body, which is wrong, on his clothing, which is wrong, in his actions, in his spirituality, whatever you see wrong, you should try and correct it for your fellow Muslim brother. Tika, rather than sticking a stick on his back saying, kick me. Tika, a fellow Muslim brother would remove that. He would take it off. Tika, because a believer is a mirror for another believer. And the ones who won't tell you of your faults after looking at you are those who are not believers. Tika? And those whose iman is weak, if your iman is weak, then he won't tell you. Either one of them, their iman is weak. Tika? Because remember, the believer is a mirror for the believer. So once, when they are both believers, jab dono mu'min hoge, tab ye hoga. That's when this will happen. Tika? But if either one of them is weak in their iman, then it won't occur. Tika, you'll walk in the street and you'll know this guy, if I tell him, he's going to burst. Okay, who are you to tell me? You don't even know this and you don't even know that, and you go to this and you do that. Then his iman is weak. Tika? It's his iman that is weak, because he's saying things like this. But when both of you have iman, then this will happen. You will help each other. You will rectify each other's faults. And when a believer rectifies your fault, then you must never ever think that you are small in front of him. But you should thank him. You should thank him. And that's the way we should always be. You should never take offense of somebody telling you something that is wrong in you, because only he will tell you who cares for you. If he doesn't care for you, then he won't bother telling you. If he's an enemy, then he would like to see that on you. He'd like for it to stay there. If somebody is going to tell you, then that means he cares for you. So you should take that from them. And we should learn to ask from whomever. Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala says that I would ask whatever I didn't know, whether it's somebody smaller than you or bigger than you. Whoever helps you, helps you. You can take benefit from them. So a believer is a mirror image of another believer. So we should all try and rectify our faults by looking at each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn it as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon our knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our knowledge beneficial for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and try and follow in his footsteps. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us fear of himself in our hearts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us love for each other in our hearts. Increase that love in our hearts for each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from misguidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all evil that he has created. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all goodness in this world and in the hereafter. And may Allah protect us from the punishment of the grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death with iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give us death until our iman is strong. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman from becoming weak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of our ulama-i kiram and our buzurgani deen and our awliya-i kiram. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah give us the tawfiq to abstain from that which Allah has forbidden. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill our obligatory acts in their specific given times, prescribed times. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from missing our obligatory acts in their prescribed times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be most merciful towards us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be most forgiving towards us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our wrongdoings and all our sins and all our mistakes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all mistakes in the future. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this mahfil today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our mistakes in this mahfil. May Allah give us reward for this mahfil, accept the reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the reward of the praise of Allah and the mentioning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mentioning of the word of Allah, the mentioning of good deeds and bad deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this sweet and this milk and this water that has been presented for fellow Muslims. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept this from us, and we send it in the court of the Master of all, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Savior of mankind, your final messenger. We place it in his court as a gift from us, this reward, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this reward, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, raise the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than it has already been raised, and shower your complete mercy and complete blessings on the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may his love be spread more to the people and to the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and towards those who do not believe. And may the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be enlightened in our hearts and in the hearts of those who have not yet seen the light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send this reward to the souls of all the Anbiya-i Kiram, all the Rusul-i-Izam, all the prophets and messengers, and all the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the great companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through them in the court of all the Taba'i Hazrat, all those who came after them, and all those who came after them, and all those who came after them, and especially on the, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this reward on the arwah of the Aimma al-Mujtahideen, from amongst them especially Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala an. And through them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the reward of this mahfil and this food and drink towards the arwah of all the awliya ikram and all of his ibadah salihin, all his pious servants that have left this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his great mercy upon their graves and their shrines and their tombs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this reward as a gift from us in the court of his most beloved saint Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an. And through Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this reward to all of his awliya kiram, especially Imam Ahmed Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, and all his family members, all his teachers, all his pious predecessors, and all the mashayikh of all the different chains of Sufiya kiram. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this reward in the court of Sayyid Nurani Baba Muhsin Sunniyat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wa radiallahu ta'ala an, and to the souls of all of his family members. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise their statuses. May Allah shower his complete mercy on the blessed grave of Sayyid Nurani Baba rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send plenty of blessings and mercy and barakat and tajalliyat and anwar on the grave of Sayyidina Muhsin Sunni and Sayyid Murali Baba rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi radiyallahu anhu. And through all of them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this reward on the souls of those who have passed away, from our family members, from our friends, and from those whom we knew in this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this reward especially on the souls of those who have passed away from amongst the relatives, friends of the owner of this house, and from our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send that reward on their souls and forgive all of their mistakes and their sins, and give them peace and blessings in their graves, give them light and give them food and drink from paradise in their graves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them clothing of Jannah in their graves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their graves spacious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them peace until the Day of Judgment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment enter them all into paradise and Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the punishment of the grave, and give us the tawfiq to answer the questions of the grave correctly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our graves let us rest in peace as well. And give us the tawfiq to stand up on the Day of Judgment in the group of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an. And through the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah enter us into Jannah as well. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ربنا إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم ربنا إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. آمين يا رب العالمين. بجاه حبيبك محمد المصطفى عليه أفضل الصلاة وأكمل التسليم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله الجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. First question is regarding a dog spitting, or the spit of a dog, or when a dog licks your clothing. So the question is that the saliva of a dog, does it make your clothes impure? The answer to that is that the saliva of a dog is najasat-e-ghaliza, which is the heavier impurity. And when it does touch your clothing, then it will make your clothing impure. Theek hai? And if it is depending on the amount of the impurity. Okay, so if the impurity was only a little amount, and the amount measured is through, if you flatten your palm, if you flatten your palm and you place water into your palm, tika, the amount of water that can gather into your palm without spilling, tika, without, that is the amount of najasate ghaliza that will make your clothing impure. Theek hai? If it is less than that, then you can still perform salah in them clothes. Theek hai? But it is better to wash it and then pray namaz. But if it is the same amount as that, that much can, that can gather in your hands, then that is wajib for you to wash. And if you perform salah in that state, then your salah will be makruh tahrimi, meaning it is wajib to repeat that salah. Theek hai? And if it is more than that amount, then your salah will be invalid. It won't even begin. Does that make sense? And the way to measure it is a 5-pound coin. If you see the size of a 5-pound coin, if you place that, if the amount of the dog's saliva is similar to the 5-pound coin, then it is wajib for you to wash it. And if it is more than that, then your salah will not count in the beginning. Theek hai? It is first for you to wash it to pray your salah. And if it is less than that, then it is forgiven. Your salah will count. Theek hai? That's the ruling. So the saliva of a dog is najasati ghaliza, and it must be washed if it is more than that amount. Theek hai? So if you get some water, you should try it out. Get some water, flatten your hand and fill your palm with water. The amount of water that fits in there, that's the measurement. If it's less than that, then you can pray namaz in that. If it's equivalent to that, it is wajib for you to repeat your salah. And if it is more than that, then it is first for you to wash it before you pray salah. It's tika, it makes the whole garment impure. Tika? And when we say the whole garment, what it means is that the part of the garment. So every part of your garment is separated. The sleeve is separate. Tika? So if it's on the sleeve, then you'll have to wash the whole sleeve now. If it's more than that part. Tika? Not the whole cloth, you won't have to wash that part. If the dog licks your hand, if you have performed wudu, so you have performed ablution, and you're going to the masjid to perform salah, and on the way a dog is walking past, and the dog it licks your hand, for example. Okay, if the dog licks your hand, then you've got impurity on your hand. Theek hai? And again, the same measurement. But you don't have to do wudu again. You don't have to do ghusl again. You don't have to do wudu. You just have to wash it off in running water. Theek hai? Your wudu is still fine. Your wudu doesn't break if a dog licks your hand. Theek hai? You just have to put running water. So the running water, because the running water will carry the impurity with it, and it'll run past. Tika? So it has to be running water. You don't just put it in a bucket and then take it out, that's done. No. It has to be running water to remove the impurity. Okay, the next question is, if you repeatedly do a makruh act, does it become haram? The answer to that is, if you continuously do an act of karahate tanzihi, something that is slightly disliked, then it does become makruh tahrimi. Theek hai? And makruh tahrimi is like haram. The books of fiqh say, karahatu tahrimi kal haram. That which is makruh tahrimi is just the same as haram. Theek hai? Although in evidence it is not as strong. Haram is something that is clearly mentioned in a clear verse of the Quran or in a hadith mutawatir. And a hadith mutawatir is that hadith which has been recorded by so many people in each generation of the chain that it is impossible for all of them to gather upon a lie. So if it's one of them two, then it's haram. If it's proven from one of them two, then it's haram. If the evidence is not as strong, then it's makruh tahrimi. Theek hai? But makruh tahrimi holds the same status as haram in it being impermissible. So it's impermissible in the same manner. So if something is makruh tanzihi, slightly disliked, and you continue to do it again and again repeatedly, then it does become makruh tahrim. Tika? That's the hukum. And there's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that haram is bayyin, it is clear. Wal halalu bayyin, and halal is absolutely clear. Allah has made halal clear, and Allah has made haram clear. And that which is between them is doubtful. Tika is that which has shubha in it, mutashabbihat, that which puts you into doubt. So halal is clear and haram is clear, and in between there is doubtful things. Tika? That's the makruhat and things like that. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the example of a shepherd who grazes his sheep in his own land, and his land is surrounded by a wall, and on the other side of that wall is somebody else's land. Tika? So this land that the sheep are eating from or grazing from is halal for the sheep because they are owned by him, but on the other side it is haram because it's not his land. But in the middle there is a wall which is not haram. Yet, if the sheep climbs onto that wall, the shepherd will hit the sheep with his stick and make it come back. Because the shepherd knows that once it gets on that wall, it is close that it will go into the other person's land. In the same way, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that stay within that which is clearly halal and stay away from that which is doubtful. Because if you fall into that which is doubtful, then it is very near that you fall into that which is haram. And if you fall into that which is haram, then it is very near that you will fall into that which is kufr. Tika? So, something that you continue to do again and again can lead to that which is worse. So if you go into doubtful things, and if you continue to carry out those things that are doubtful, then you will lead into haram. In the same way, when somebody commits that which is makruh tanzihi and he continues to do it again and again, then it becomes makruh tahrimi. Tika? Which is like haram. So yes, that is correct, that if you repeatedly do something that is makruh tanzihi, then it does become makruh tahrimi. The third question, is it true that the Sahaba would drink the urine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The answer to that is, it is not true. It is not an act that they used to do, or it has not been recorded in such a manner. However, there were incidents when a Sahabi did by mistake drink the urine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And what happened was, at a night, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam awoke in the night, and he relieved himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he went back to sleep. And in them days, we didn't have the toilets where you go into the toilets and you relieve yourself. And they used to use containers. Tika? And Sahabi of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up in the night, and they were very thirsty, and they found this container with a drink in it, and it smelled really nice, and it smelled so nice that the Sahabi drank it. Tika? They had no idea that this was impure or anything like that. And in the morning, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned that where has it gone, I had relieved myself, and the Sahabiya said that I have drunk it. I woke up and it smelled so beautiful. It had a very nice smell, and I drank it, and it quenched my thirst and it tasted amazing. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that the Sahabiya has done wrong. Take care. Which simply means that even the urine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was back. It was pure. It wasn't impure. He wasn't like us. He was the one chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself said that, لَسْتُ كَهَيَاتِكُمْ, I am not like you. Tika? أَيُّكُمْ مِثْلِي, who from amongst you is like me? The wudu of a normal human breaks when he sleeps. But for the Anbiya kiram, the wudu doesn't break. And it's an ijma. It's a unanimous consensus of the ulama that the wudu of the Anbiya Kiram does not break when they sleep. They are constantly in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the urine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wasn't a general practice of the Sahaba to drink it, but it has happened, and it was not forbidden by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Whereas there is a narration where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the fire of hell will never burn your body anymore. Okay? Because the Sahaba drank that urine, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have freed yourself from the fire of hell. And there's a similar narration about a black slave who did the cupping of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the blood had exited, he drank that blood. He drank it. And a clear verse of the Quran says that Ad-dabul masfuh is impure. It is an impurity. It's urine. It's impure. But when he drank it, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, idhab, go, you have freed yourself from the fire of hell. Tika? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure and he was free from impurities. Tika? So that's the answer to that question. It wasn't a general practice, but it did occur. And it wasn't, they were not forbidden from it. Okay? Should we now pray Asr?